This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about harmony and happiness in the home. Today, the home is a source of a lot of division and discord, a lot of pain and problems, a lot of sin and sorrow. And that's not how God originally intended the home to be. When you look back at the original home of Adam and Eve that God had made and ordained, before sin entered the picture, there was harmony and happiness. But sin enters in, the devil gets a hold of members of the home, and it causes problems. You see, for that first marriage in Genesis chapter 3, in Adam and Eve, after they sin, that they begin to, Adam begins to blame Eve for what she had done. There is blame, there is hiding, there is guilt. Nothing but bad happens when we let the devil into our home. And so this morning I want to be reminded of how that we can get back to having a harmonious and happy home life. And if we will live the good Christian life, we can have that very thing. You look across society and around the world today and you see homes that are problematic. The proverb writer talks about in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of feasting with strife. And it's better to have little materially and monetarily and have quietness and peace and happiness and harmony than to have a house full of feasting, anything that we want materially, the nicest toys, the nicest electronics, the nicest technology, spending money, working more and more to make money, to buy more things, to have better things, and then have a home where there is strife and division and sorrow. In Proverbs chapter 21, go over a few chapters, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a contentious woman in a wide house. Both men and women in marriage can be contentious and problematic. In many homes, there is division and discord. We find it with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. We find the statement in Romans 1:30, disobedient to parents and covenant breakers. We find that a home life that is torn up is a part of the grievous times mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. The head of the list there is lovers of self, but it goes on to say, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That would apply to the modern practice of abortion. Natural affection is the natural affection between a mother and a child. This says without natural affection. We just kill that baby that's in us without thinking twice. Implacable, slander, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's grievous and terrible times. But homes were not designed by God to be a source of grief. The home in Psalm 127 and in Psalm 128 is pictured as a blessed and beautiful thing. And we need to remember that and get back to that kind of home. Not the home modeled on modern day society that is broken down and falling apart. Psalm 127 verse 1, except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Verse 3, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that fears Jehovah, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Jehovah. Jehovah bless thee out of Zion, and see thou the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, see thou thy children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You see in these two psalms the word happy, blessed. And it deals with the family relationship and the marriage relationship. And that's what God intends. And when we follow God's rules and regulations, that's what we'll have. But so many people have left God out of their life and God's word out of their life, and they wonder why their marriage and family is falling apart. It's no accident. It's we're not building our homes on the principles of God's word. I want to see this morning and answer the question, where is the home with harmony and happiness? Where is that? We're going to explore that this morning on the program, and we're glad that you've joined us. You know, people trouble their homes, and that's not good. In Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 29, he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind, and the foolish shall be servant to the wise of heart. There are a lot of people that are troubling their own marriage and family and children and parents. And that's wrong. And we've got to stop it. We're tearing ourselves up in this country. We're tearing ourselves apart. So, where is the home with harmony and happiness? We're going to look at several principles this morning, and I want to encourage you to have these principles in your life. And if we can sit down and study with you from God's Word and encourage you more in how to have these principles, let's get together and do that. We would encourage you to come to one of our services at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Call us. Let's set up a Bible study where we can sit down and talk about home and family together. I'd be glad to do that with you. You can reach us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Let's talk about what we need to do to have that harmony and happiness that God designed and planned for us. It's there waiting if we'll just simply follow His word. Where is the home with harmony and happiness? Well, number one, in the home where love is given and received. Paul talks about love is the bond of unity, or the bond that unites. And it certainly unites a family, Colossians 3, verse 14. Biblical love, not just today's idea of love, which is often selfish. Biblical love is actually the opposite. It's selfless. It's sacrificial love that gives for the other person, and it should exist in the marriage and in the parent-child relationship. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5, 25, and again in verse 28. Also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for it on the cross. And so a sacrificial love, not a selfishness. Too many marriages are falling apart, and the divorce rate is up around 50% in this nation because of selfishness, plain old ordinary selfishness. Putting ourselves first above our mate. What we want and what we think and what we feel and where we want to go and what we want to do and the life we want to lead, and spouses grow apart and they say, well, let's just get a divorce. It hurts them. It hurts everybody around them, including the children if they are in the picture. And then the wife, it's a little bit different word. Instead of agape, it's phileo, but the wife is to love her husband, Titus 2, verse 4, and to love her children, And that's a friendship love, a close relationship. And so when there is love between husbands and wives and parents and children, that's going to be a home where harmony and happiness is. And we've got to get that back into our lives, sacrificial love. Where is the home with harmony and happiness? Well, number two, where peace is found. Jesus talks about sending his disciples to preach the word. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, he talks about where you enter into a home where peace is. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, so then let us follow after things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. Do we work to be peaceful in our conversations and in our actions one toward another in the home? Or do we work to fight and have a war and have a battle and say things that will purposely stir up a fight? Say things that will purposely keep a fight going. One-upsmanship, trying to get one up on the family member. Try to browbeat them emotionally and mentally and verbally. Or do we follow after things which make for peace? There are things that we can say and do that will make for a peaceful situation. Jesus talks about blessed are the peacemakers. In so many relationships in our life, we need more of that. What are some things which make for peace? You ever thought about that? What can we do to make a peaceful relationship? Well, number one, one thing that comes to my mind is courtesy and kindness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Just being courteous and kind and nice. Please, thank you, I appreciate you. Kind acts, kind deeds, helping out around the house, supporting, being helpful, being kind. Another thing is the golden rule, treating others the way we would want to be treated. Matthew 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just treating family members the way they want, you want them to treat you. This simple golden rule would make for peace. Confessing our faults when we're wrong. Just saying, I'm sorry. James 5:16. And forgiveness. When someone in our family does wrong and they admit that and they want to change that, forgive them. Ephesians 4:32. Be forgiving. Be mature. And grow up. And act in a good way. There are a number of things that we can do to make for peace. Kind words. The Proverbs talk about speaking kindly in a word in due season. And a soft answer turns away wrath. Peaceful words, thoughts, actions, deeds. Where peace is found in the home, harmony and happiness is found in the home. Number three, where is harmony and happiness found? Well, in the home where impartiality is shown toward all. Everyone is treated fairly and properly and kindly and equally. You remember Jacob showed partiality toward Joseph in giving him a coat of many colors, and it fostered envy and jealousy among his brothers. They eventually didn't like that. And they sold him into Egypt. Impartiality, not just with gifts, but with discipline, with teaching, with acts of kindness, treating everyone fairly and equally and justly. And there might be family members, because of their personality, that you have to work a little bit more to do that. Some family members you might gravitate toward quickly because of similar personalities. but we can't leave the other family members out by themselves and mistreat them in some way, shun them or slight them or give them less. And again, I'm not just talking about monetary things. I'm talking about our attention, our love, our care and concern, our help, our conversation, where impartiality is shown. There's harmony and happiness. When family members realize that someone is playing favorites, then it starts division and discord. Number four, in the home where order is maintained, Isaiah told Hezekiah, get your house in order, set your house in order, 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, because you're going to die. God is a God of order, not of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, and then again in verse 40. He made an orderly universe. You can read Genesis 1 and 2 and read that. And we know the law of gravity, and we know the orderly rotation of the moon around the earth, and the moon and the earth around the sun, and the orderly line of the planets and various orders in God's creation are seen all around us. He put order in religion. Both in the Old and New Testament, we read about the various orders that were made in worship to God. There's to be order in society through civil government, Romans 13, 1 through 7. And there's to be order in the home. Friend, is it time for you to set your house in order? And the way we do that, the order is found in the Word of God. The order is not found in what we think or feel or society. The order, the prescription, the pattern, the owner's manual for marriage and family is God's Word. And when marriages are out of order and parenting is out of order and everybody is just trying to wing it from day to day based upon their own feelings or human wisdom or what society says, that's why we have the divorce and the child abuse and the spouse abuse and the child neglect and the single parents and the deadbeat dads and a bunch of other things. Order is not being maintained, and it's chaos. And young people are not being raised right. And the recent shooting out in California, on a daily basis, we read about these shootings. And we're having this national debate and discussion about gun control. And rarely do I ever hear anyone discuss the root of the problem. They dig down and they try to find the root of the problem, but they don't go far enough. And the root of the problem is the home. How that person was raised. Guns by themselves do not kill anyone. The person holding the gun, who was not raised right, who was not raised in an orderly fashion to believe in God and follow God's word and to love his fellow man as himself and a bunch of other principles, they're going to take a gun, possibly, and kill somebody. The gun itself is not the problem. We don't need gun regulation. We need people regulation, mind regulation. We need home. We need to get the home back the way it's supposed to be according to God's word, orderly. These gun, the school shootings and the church shootings and the park shootings and so forth, that's disorder. If we're raised orderly, we won't engage in disorderly conduct. And it's not just shooting people with guns, it's the divorce rate, it's abortion, it's children without parents, and on and on and on. Disorder, chaos, confusion, and the devil is just having a heyday. He loves it. Don't let your home and family be a part of that. In homes where roles are respected, there will be harmony and happiness. And a lot of people today, they don't even know what those roles are because they're not reading their Bible. The New Testament especially lays out very clearly that the husband is to be a loving head of his wife, a spiritual guide and leader. 1 Corinthians 11:3, Ephesians 5:24 and following, 1 Peter 3:7. The wife is to be a submissive helpmeet, Ephesians 5:24 and following, 1 Timothy 5:14, Titus 2:4 and 5, 1 Peter 3:1 through 6. And the child is to be obedient and honoring of his or her parents, Ephesians 6:1 through 3. And when everyone recognizes his or her right place and order and role and stays in it and respects it and works within it, there's beautiful harmony and happiness. But when we step out of bounds because we don't want what God says, and many people don't, then here comes the trouble. God is like a manufacturer. He made Adam and Eve in the first home and gave them a divine owner's manual. It's called the Bible. We have an owner's manual. God reveals His Word little by little. It's collected and put together, and we're the recipients of God's owner's manual on the home and family. We would do well to get it out of the glove compartment and read it. A lot of times we have these owner's manuals and we don't even read them. And how often in my own personal life have answers been found to questions that I've had about different things that I've owned? They were answered, lo and behold, in the owner's manual. We own a vehicle right now, a used vehicle. And the person who owned it before us really took care of that vehicle. And I noticed that when we went to purchase it, I could tell that it was the vehicle several years old, but it had been taken care of very well. And I was looking at the owner's manual, and I could tell that the person had made a lot of notes. They had read a lot of pages, and they put those little sticky notes about what's on this page and what you need to know about this, and they had special notes about the oil and all kinds of things. They were serious about taking care of their vehicle. We need to be serious about taking care of one of the most important commodities that is the foundation of every individual, the nation as a whole, and the church. It's called the home. And we would do well to spend more time reading the owner's manual. And we'll get this ship turned around, but right now it's headed over a falls that will not be able to come back. There is hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the home. I'm painting a very negative picture in many ways this morning, but let's not forget that there is hope. There is light at the end of a dark tunnel if we will accept it. In homes where these things are found, there's harmony and happiness. Let me add a few more things and then we'll close this morning. In the home where discipline is carried out, Ephesians 6:4, where fathers are to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Instructive discipline involving words and teaching, and corporal discipline involving punishment. Proverbs 13, verse 24, and several of the Proverbs talk about the rod. And that is so disparaged by the child professionals today. Listen, I was raised on a belt. And my dad whipped me, and my mom whipped me from time to time when I was young. that set me straight. I stopped doing the wrong and the foolishness that I was doing. That belt never warped me or scarred me for life or did anything that liberals claim today that it does. It didn't teach me to be violent. I hear that today. If you spank a child, you're just teaching him to be violent himself later when he grows up. It never taught me to be violent. I don't go around hitting on people because I was spanked when I was young. It disciplined me, trained me, and taught me. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Where discipline is carried out. Where truth is taught. And homes based upon God's word on a daily basis. The Jewish home was to be based upon God's word when they rose up and when they sat down, reading and hearing and listening to the word of God, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, where spiritual priorities are taught, such as salvation and the church and the coming judgment day and heaven and hell and the plan of salvation, and other basic values are taught, respect for God and the elderly and parents and civil authority, the rights of others. Responsibility is taught when we read the Word of God. Humility is taught. Hard work is taught. Forgiveness is taught. Love is taught. Mercy is taught. Etc., etc. And these basic values that we need to know are all taught in the Word of God, but we're not reading our Bible. And so we wonder why there's a problem in the home. In homes where faithfulness is honored, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Where we're faithful to our covenant until death do us part. Broken covenants cause trouble. Fornication and adultery cause nothing but trouble. Faithfulness brings honor. And then last of all, in homes where Christianity is practiced, where the mom and the dad and the children grow up in time to be faithful Christians. Both parents are faithful Christians. The children grow up to be faithful Christians, obeying the New Testament gospel plan of salvation, Romans 1:16, the gospel that saves. And they grow up and they repent and they're baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38. They live faithful Christian lives. That's where there's going to be harmony and happiness in that home. Friend, as we close, do you have harmony and happiness in your home? Or do you have division and discord? Let us help you to have that harmony and happiness in the home. I believe Jesus Christ is the hope of the home. Will you let Him in? Families, the choice is yours. Harmony and happiness, or division and discord. We thank you for listening this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. And if we can get together and study these things more, we would encourage you to contact us. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll have a good day.